Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from our current teaching series, Christmas Presents.
Good morning, Wellspring Service. Good to be with you today. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn to John 15, we're going to be looking there as we wrap up this series on Christmas presents. And today we're going to be talking about Emmanuel, who brings us life, the Emmanuel of life bringing. And I feel like, this isn't the first time when Dave's been gone that I've been preaching out of John 15. I sort of feel like Dave's saying, well, I mean, try again. We don't know about the last couple of times, but here we'll give you another shot. So we've been looking at the Gospel of John all throughout this series, and we'll be primarily in the 15th chapter today. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dig into God's Word together. Father, as we conclude another calendar year, we look back and we see how you have been with us and how you have blessed us. We see you moving. We see the opportunities you've given us to grow. Perhaps we look back and see even opportunities that we didn't take full advantage of. And we pray, God, that you would continue to shape us and make us into people in the likeness of your Son, who can live bringing you glory each day and sharing your love and message with those around us. We pray that our time in the Word this morning might be fruitful to those ends. Holy Spirit, come and do your work in us in these moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus is the one who brings us life, and this is good news to us when we discover in the scriptures, and possibly from our own experience, what Paul highlights for us here in Ephesians chapter 2. He says this, as for you, and he's speaking to everyone here, everyone is included in this. In the South, we'd say, as for y'all, right? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, talking there about Satan and the spiritual forces arrayed against God, his enemies. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of God's wrath. So when God finds us, we are spiritually dead. We are deserving of punishment from God to have his wrath poured out on us because we have been thoroughly disobedient. We have been seeking our own way, and that leaves us in a place of being spiritually dead. So that's the bad news. But immediately Paul turns to the good news in the very next sentences. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So dead people do not raise themselves up to life. What happens is God, in his love and mercy, sends Emmanuel, who is full of life and grace and love and truth and mercy. And he imparts that life to those who are dead, making them spiritually alive. John, in his gospel, particularly in the way that John tells his story, really highlights the fact that Jesus is the one who is life. He is the one who has life within himself. He is the one who comes seeking to bring this life and to share it with us. John begins his gospel this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So from the very beginning, John, in the way that he tells his story about Jesus, is saying, he is the one who is life. He has life. Listen, all you who are spiritually dead because of sin. This is the one who's bringing the life of God to you. And Jesus, in the things that he says, in the things that he teaches, reiterates this about himself, and he's trying to continue to give people clues about his true identity, that he is the one who has life, and about his desire to share that life with us. You remember, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And he also says, my body, my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. And if you don't partake of these, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. People were offended when Jesus, what is he talking about? That's a shocking thing to say. But I think what Jesus wants us to understand is he wants the life that he has in him to flow into us. And eating his flesh and drinking his blood, this bread and this cup, are ways that his life flow into us. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus wants desperately to take the life that he has within him and share it with you, give it to you, transmit it somehow to you. Well, how can that happen? How can the life that is in Jesus come and flow into us? Well, it happens when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, when we declare him to be our Lord and Savior, when we die in the waters of baptism and are raised to new life. Jesus is able at that point to make a beginning to share this life with us. But it's an ongoing process. It's a daily process. You know, I think of like a power tool just sitting there, not plugged into the wall socket. And that power tool might think, gosh, it would be nice if I could get some electricity up in here so that I could do my thing. I wonder if there's a way that I could get some electricity within me. Well, that's what that power cord is for. The power tool is never going to have electricity within itself and its own power, right? It has to connect to the power source, understand? We're like that. We don't have life within ourselves. We need to connect to the source of life so that the life can flow from the source into us. All right. So the question we're asking today is, how can we receive the life of Emmanuel? How can we receive life from Christ? And also, how can we bring Emmanuel's life into the world? Remember a few weeks ago when Dave had the bucket up here and the sprinkler, right? We don't want to just be a receptacle for that life and say, thank you, Jesus. It's great that you're pouring your life into me. This is wonderful. We also then want to become a conduit, a channel for that life, and have it pass into us, nourish us, bring us to life, but then also flow out from us, and we can then be a life-giving presence to people in our lives as well. The life of Emmanuel can flow into us and through us, and as God sends Jesus to us as Emmanuel, his presence, Jesus sends us to the world as Emmanuel, his presence. So we find ourselves back in John 15, in this beautiful metaphor of the vine and the branches. It's beautiful. It's also stark and troubling at times. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There's the troubling part. Really, Jesus, apart from you, I can do nothing? Right, nothing. You don't have life within you. If you want to have life, you need to remain in me. Stay connected to me. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So, friends, many of you have made a beginning in Christ. You have professed your faith in him. You've said you want to receive him as your Lord and Savior. But this is an ongoing process. How do we continue to connect with Jesus on a day-by-day basis so that his life can continue to flow into us? So a few questions that might spur you to think about these things. How is it that we develop a life-nourishing daily connection with Jesus? How does that actually happen? I think what we're doing here this morning is a key part of our weekly practice, that we come here seeking God, right? That's the language we use here at Valley. Every week, Sherry admonishes us to seek the Lord. What she's admonishing us to do is this very thing, to connect with God. How is it that you're going to connect with God? Well, this is one way. But I think we all realize that this service, these couple hours on Sunday morning by itself, isn't enough. We need more. We need a more constant connection, a daily connection. So how are you seeking God? How are you connecting with God? One way to sort of analyze this and say, well, what kinds of things do I do that help me to connect with God? Look back into your past and say, you know, when are times that what are things that I've done that I've really felt connected with God and felt blessed by God and felt alive when I'm doing those things? Is it serving? Is it singing? Is it praying? Is it reading the Bible? Is it meeting with a small group? Is it, what is it? And whatever those things are, do that. Do more of that. We, you know, our pathways don't all look the same. We connect with God in unique and different ways. And, you know, we could talk about a list of 100 things, but your things are unique to you. So what are they, and what is it that you do that you reach toward God and say, I want to make a connection with you, God? And you sense that he reaches back and says, yes, my child, I want to make this connection with you as well. You know, I was just thinking today, wouldn't it be nice if there was like a little app for your phone or something that could show you like a little life meter? Getting low on life, better connect to the, you know, be great, wouldn't it? Whoa, I'm getting real low. I'm in the red zone. I better plug in and you know, but we kind of know that intuitively, I think, that, you know, we need this daily connection with Emmanuel so that his life can flow into us. A lot of times Dave Burkham, our pastor, will say, what's the most important thing in your relationship with God? The next thing. The next thing. So what is the next step for you? This is a time of year when we think about, you know, new disciplines, new practices, or renewing disciplines and practices that we have done in the past. Maybe they've weakened. You know, we can think about, what do I want to make a part of my life in this new year that will help me connect with the Lord of life on a daily basis so that I can come alive in him, to receive that life from him. And when we're receiving that life from him, then we're able to begin sharing it with others. We're still in John 15. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Jesus is going to give us another way that we can connect with him and have his life flow into us, here it is. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. That's a way to connect with him and stay with him, is to obey what he's telling us, to listen to what he wants us to do and actually do it. And if we do that, you will remain in my love, he says. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Why is Jesus telling us this? I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus wants us to experience joy. That's why he's telling us this. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I've always kind of read this when I zero in on this passage, John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. It occurs to me that Jesus is talking about himself and what he's going to do on the cross, to actually go to his physical death and crucifixion on the cross, and that will be a great demonstration of love for his friends. And certainly it is. But I have to go back to John 15 and wonder, in context, is that all of what Jesus is saying here? Look at what comes right before and right after. Jesus is giving this command. My command is this, that you should love each other as I have loved you. And then this idea, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Right after it, you are my friends if you do what I command. So I think certainly Jesus is intimating about the kind of love he's going to show on the cross. But I also think he is telling his disciples, I expect that kind of love from you. I expect that kind of love from you. You're my friends. I'm going to lay down my life for you. Will you lay down your life for me? Will you reciprocate that kind of love that I'm going to show you? I think sometimes we think, oh, I'm glad Jesus went to the cross so that I don't have to. I'm not sure it works that way. Jesus goes to the cross and accomplishes something for us that we could never accomplish for ourselves. Because of his perfect and sinless life, he becomes an atoning sacrifice for us. But then Jesus invites us as his disciples. He says, now take up your cross. Be willing to deny yourself and follow me. Jesus is talking here about an approach to life, an attitude that opens up the way of life that he is calling us to. Again, back to Paul in Philippians. I want to show you this. Do not be selfish, Paul is saying. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. That's difficult to do. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. There's an attitude that underlies what Emmanuel is able to do. First, there's an attitude in his heart and in his mind, the way he thinks about what God is asking him to do and the way he feels about that. And his attitude leads him to embrace it. The reason that we're talking about Emmanuel at all, God with us, is because Jesus had a particular attitude. An attitude that said this: though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus' attitude toward that way of living was, I'm going to embrace that. I'm going to say yes to that. So let me ask you, what is your particular interest in denying yourself, in thinking of others first, in laying down your life for your friends, in considering the needs of those around you before you consider your own needs. Why do you want to do that stuff? Why is that interesting to you? Why are you seeking that as a way of life? Well, let me ask you this. Is this for you more of a should thing, or is it more of a want to thing? Let's say it like this. You know, when you think about a life of laying down what you want and serving others and giving your life and your time and your resources to other people and not being so self-centered and always thinking about what you want, but focusing on others and serving others, is that to you kind of like vegetables? Or is it kind of like pizza? You know, ask a kid. Hey, kid, you going to eat those vegetables? I don't want to. How come? Because they taste nasty. But they're good for you. Yeah, I know. Well, so I guess you should eat them because they're good for you. Is that what this is? Well, I look at this list, denying myself and thinking of others first and laying down my life for my friends and considering others, you know. I don't want to do it, but I guess I should do it because it's good for me. Is it that, or is it, man, pizza? Yeah, pizza. I like it. It tastes good. You gonna have pizza at the lock-in, Nick? Oh, you know, sign me up for a whole bunch of pizza. Why? Because I love it. Because it tastes good. I'm interested in that. If there's pizza on the table or vegetables on the table, I'm going for pizza. Look at me. Some of us think our attitude toward the way of life that Jesus is calling us to is this: I'm pretty sure that will ruin my life. If I actually do that, I'm afraid I'm going to be miserable. That's what we're afraid of. We think that if we truly live this way, always looking at others, always giving to others, always serving others, always laying down our wants and desires for the good of others, we're pretty sure that that is a recipe for misery. And so although we know we should do it, we don't do it because we don't want to. Let's come at it from another direction. Does Jesus strike you as a miserable person when you encounter his life in the Gospels, when you, you know, encounter him in real life through his Holy Spirit? Does Jesus strike you as a person who wakes up every morning grumbling? More sick people today? Really? Demon-possessed too, probably? Lepers? Yeah? Awesome. That was yesterday. That's today too? Okay, I don't think that was Jesus' attitude. It doesn't strike me that that's who he was. So we have a choice to make, and we have to cultivate a particular attitude. If you look at Jesus, and if you look at this way of living that he's calling us to, and you say, I'm pretty sure that's going to make me miserable, then you're never going to enter fully into that life. You're going to try to avoid it. You're going to ask, what is the bare minimum? What's the least that I can do? How can I have a toe in that life but still kind of keep everything that I think is going to bring me happiness and joy? Or you can say, Jesus, I believe that you lived a beautiful life, full of joy, full of love, full of compassion, that you were completely fulfilled, that you had an abundant life, and that that's the life you're calling me to as well. I believe that you are an authority, Jesus, on the good life. And I'm going to follow you into that kind of life because not only do I know that it will please God, but I believe that I too will find my greatest fulfillment in that way of living. I believe that that will be the path to abundance for me. Jesus, I love your way of life. It's exciting to me, and I want to embrace it wholeheartedly. What is your attitude toward the life that Jesus is calling you to? What if the life that Jesus is holding out for us is the path to the good life in this life and the next? Jesus chooses to live a certain way because of his attitude, and look how God the Father responds to the way Jesus lives his life. Therefore, because Jesus was willing to abandon his own rights and become a servant, how does God treat that? God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God honors that kind of life and elevates the one who chooses to live that way. Now, that's hope for the future, but what I want to say to you this morning is this is a good way to live in the now as well. There's fulfillment and abundance in this way of living right now as well. Now, we're going to finish with, once we are receiving this life from Emmanuel, once we've cultivated an attitude that says, yeah, that's the way I'm going to live. That's the way I want my life to go. Well, then we can move into Emmanuel action. Jesus says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So Jesus is kind of using language here like, you guys have been my apprentices. You've been in the workshop with me. You know, Jesus was a carpenter. He understands what an apprenticeship would be like. And his disciples have been apprenticing themselves to him to learn his business. Well, what's his business? Jesus' business is life in the kingdom of God. It's the Emmanuel business. And Jesus says, look, I've shared with you everything that God taught me about doing this, and now I've given it to you. Because you're not just my servants, you're my friends. I'm bringing you into this work with me. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go now and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. A few weeks ago, Dave had a slide up with a whole bunch of things that, you know, Emmanuel people do, you know, these actions of people who are bringing the life of God and being the presence of God in the midst of others. And frankly, you know, I just said, hey, send me that list. I don't want to have to think of it again. So it was a good list. So let's just see it again. So here's Dave's list, and it's a good list. And frankly, you and I could have come up with a list that looked pretty much just like this, because these are not things that are mysterious or hidden to us or secret. We all know what the things that Jesus does, what kind of life, you know, he's calling us to. We know what to do. Encouraging, forgiving, helping, serving, listening, all of these things. In a word, these things are all just another way of saying love. Love each other. So it's not that we don't know what to do. It's you know, do we have the life flowing into us from Jesus, and do we have a heart that makes us willing to do these things on a regular basis? So let me ask you, are you a life-giving person, a life-giving presence? And to me, you know, this is a list, but zero in on that first one. Are you a life-giving presence? Are you an Emmanuel-type person in your home? That's where it all starts. Who are you at home? Do the people that have to live with you and encounter you every day, Is the life of Jesus flowing into you and flowing out to them, the fruit of the Spirit? These Emmanuel actions, this Emmanuel attitude, is it coming through you out to them? What about with your extended family, many of whom you may have just seen this last week, or you're about to see here in the coming weeks, among your friends, in your workplace, within your church community? What about all together? What about us? Does Valley Christian Church have a life-giving presence in our community? I wonder what people in our community would say if they would say, you know, that Valley Christian Church, I hope they never go away. We need them here. I mean, those people, they're bringing life to our community, right? I hope that's what is being said about us. And I look at the things that we're doing, friends, and we're doing some great things in our community. I wonder how we could more and more embrace this role of bringing the life of Emmanuel to the people in our neighborhood, the people in our community who really need it. And I'm going to say that I don't think the key is to just focus on, we need to do more stuff. I think if we focus on the first two things, staying connected to God, seeking Him, pursuing Him, connecting with Him, each of us on a regular basis, and cultivating a heart that says, I'm going to embrace a role of servanthood. Our church community, we're interested in serving our neighborhood and reaching out to our neighborhood. We're interested in taking the good news and the love of Jesus Christ to the people who are around here. I think the opportunities and the things that we're supposed to do will just become very clear to us. We'll start to see the opportunities that are all around us. I hope that in the coming year, we can truly embrace this life of being Emmanuel and bringing life to our family, our friends, people in our community. I hope we can do that more and more. And I think this is the key. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. I'd like us to declare this together this morning. Would you stand with me? And I've just sort of reworked this into a declaration that we can say together this morning to say that we believe this and to also lay hold of this promise and to commit ourselves to this way of living in the coming days, weeks, and year. So let's say this together. He is the vine. We are the branches. If we remain in Him and He remains in us, we will bear much fruit. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. The Lord be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcasts and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note through our website, valleycc.org.